Now we have the saints of the great tribulation reign with Christ 1,000 years. And I'm going to read from my translation again. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. And whosoever worshipped not the wild beast, neither his image, and received not the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand. And they lived again. Now you see, they're raised from the dead. These are tribulation saints. Many are going to die for Christ in that period. They lived again and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So the tribulation saints are going to trade in 3.5 years for 1,000 years. And I would say they're getting a pretty good deal, if you ask me. But that 3.5 years was rugged and terrible. Now, let me continue to read. This is the first resurrection. In case you think that this is not the resurrection of the saved, he'd have you know that the first resurrection includes the church. Actually, I should go back and say Christ is the first fruits. Then the church is raised. Then the Old Testament saints, and then the tribulation saints. And all of these constitute the first resurrection. And that's the resurrection of the saved. Now, the resurrection of the lost is a separate resurrection altogether. And we're going to see that when we get to it. Again, may I say that this is a rather naive notion that somehow or another way the world's going to end. Why, Jesus will come and it's a simple thing and the dead are raised and he puts the good guys on one side, the bad guys on the other, and then they move into eternity and that's it. My friend, God has a program and he follows a very definite program. He always has in the past. And he moves intelligently. Now, let me continue to read. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death hath no authority, any power. But they shall be priests of God and of the Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, for just a moment, let's look at this. This prophecy is like any other prophecy in Scripture, as Peter put it in 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, you can't just lift out a verse of Scripture and base doctrine on that. You need to have the corroboration of other Scriptures. And when this passage here is treated as a dignified statement of literal facts, it becomes reasonable and it fits into the entire program of prophecy that we've been following. Now, any attempt to reduce it to the lowest common denominator of fanciful and figurative symbols makes the passage an absurdity. Of course it does. And to spiritualize this passage is to disembowel all Scripture of vital meaning, making the interpretation of Scripture a reducto ad absurdum. Now, that is what I've written in my book. Now, the thrones are literal. The martyrs here are literal. Jesus is literal. And the Word of God is literal. And the beast is literal. And the image here is literal. And the mark of the beast is literal. And their foreheads and their hands are literal. And the 1,000 years are literal. It's all literal. And 1,000 years means 1,000 years. Now, if God meant that it was eternal, I think he would have said so. If he meant it was 500 years, he would have said so. Can't God say what he means? Of course he can. And when he says 1,000 years, he means 1,000 years. Now, the word for resurrection here is interesting. It's the same word Paul used in 1 Corinthians 15 for the resurrection of Christ and believers, anastasia, and it means a bodily resurrection. Now, he says here, I saw thrones and they sat on them. Now, they here, it causes some question. I grant that. Who's they? Well, I come to the conclusion, and it's just my judgment now here, they must be the total number of those who have been part in the first resurrection. And that includes the church, began with Christ. Well, let me go over this again. The first resurrection began with the resurrection of Christ. Then it's followed by the resurrection of his church. And that's 1,900 years later, 1,900 plus. I don't know how much more. But before the Great Tribulation, as we've seen in Revelation 4. Now, at the end of the Great Tribulation is the resurrection of both the tribulation saints, the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, for the Word of God, and whoever worshiped the beast, and so on. And the Old Testament saints, as we saw in Daniel 12:1, and I have a diagram that I've put in my book on Revelation, and I took it from my book on the Rose Parade of Resurrection, that God is following a program. This is not some little naive notion. This is a program that God is following and that he's given in his Word. I hope you have that chart. You can get it in either one of my books, the second volume of Revelation. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. Now, the tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints will evidently reign on this earth with Christ. And I think David will be his vicegerent. Now, the church, which is the bride of Christ, will reside in the New Jerusalem, where she reigns with him from that exalted place. And I think over a great deal of God's creation. We'll see that in the next chapter. Christ will commute back and forth from the New Jerusalem to the Old Jerusalem on this earth. In fact, there must be a great deal of traffic as the church travels back and forth between its heavenly home and the earth. Multitudes of both Israel and the Gentiles, they will enter the kingdom in natural bodies, not having died. And these are the ones, together with those that are born during the millennium, these are the ones who are tested during this period. And as Christ in a glorified body mingled with his apostles and followers, so the church in glorified bodies will mingle with the multitudes in their natural bodies here on the earth. And the church in glorified bodies will be able to move out into space. That's the first time I'm going to take any space travel. I'll tell you that. I want to make sure that gravitation doesn't grab me with a seat of the pants and pull me back to this earth in a hurry. And it won't in that day. Now, we are told they shall be priests unto God. Now, that refers unto the entire nation of Israel. And this is God's original purpose for Israel. For he said in Exodus 19:6, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Abraham was a priest in his family. Levi was the priestly tribe with the family of Aaron serving as high priest. And in the theocratic kingdom here on this earth, the entire nation of Israel will be priests. Now in Scripture, there is more prophecy concerning the millennium than of any other period. The kingdom was the theme of the Old Testament prophets. And I don't know how else you'd interpret it. That's the reason that we've had hundreds, well, I'd say thousands of letters of people saying they never studied the minor prophets before, never heard a message from the minor prophets. Why that great silence today? Why that vacuum and void? Well, because somebody's forgetting about the millennium that's going to be established here on this earth, because all of them look forward to that kingdom that's coming on the earth, and here it is.